This is an ABC podcast.
Hello and welcome to Baby Talk. This week we're going to meet a New York comedian who was kind of convinced to have a baby and then decided maybe it wasn't such a great idea after all.
Life, as you have known it up until now, has come to an abrupt halt. You can take care of this person that you just met, and this person is kind of a dick. You don't sleep. Your hormones are going crazy. Your relationship with your partner has gone from lovers to full-time employees of the same horrible boss.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
How do you describe what it's like to have a baby to someone who doesn't have one? Are you one of these people that try to encourage your friends? Have a baby. It'll be fine. What could possibly go wrong?
Like, I was worried about, like, the hair situation down there. I was worried about pooping. I'm like, that was the least of my worries.
Or do you feel that you were blindsided by becoming a parent? Jamie Adeski is a New York comedian. She had a baby. It was hard. Lots of unexpected stuff that she makes sound really funny. So instead of just suffering, she wrote a show about it called Cry Baby. Although I'm pretty sure you can work out she's laughing through the tears.
Everybody lied to me about what it's like to have a baby. I still tinkle if I run. I don't run, so that's fine.
I really wanted to talk to Jamie about what it's really like to be a mother. Jamie, you were working on the comedy circuit before someone else suggested it was a good idea for you to have a baby?
Yes. So all of my girlfriends that have kids were like, oh, you should just do it.
Yeah.
Even my gynecologist was like, well, you know, you're 36. You probably should just start trying if you want to. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I want one. And she's like, just do it. Everyone was just like, just do it. Even my doctor, I'm like, oh, this must be easy.
It's sort of, you suspect a conspiracy when everyone goes, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. One of my best friends, she just had her fourth kid. She told me that having a baby is easier than having a puppy. That is not true.
Okay. I suspect there's possibly less mud, but definitely wouldn't be less poop.
Yeah, no. That was not true.
Everyone said it was a good idea. Were you one of these people that got pregnant straight away, or did it take a little while?
No, it was like boom, bang, right out the gate. And, you know, I have been on, I don't know, this is TMI, but I have been on birth control forever. And I do remember my mother, when I was like 18 or something, telling me, just so you know, we are very fertile, so be careful.
Excellent. Okay, so one of the things I like to laugh about myself is that vision of me, the innocent pregnant lady frolicking through the daisies. I had my whole plan of what it was going to be like to be a mother. Oh, were you similar?
Yes, I had such an easy pregnancy. And in the beginning, I was miserable because I couldn't drink. I couldn't eat oysters. I just looked like I had a beer gut. You know, you don't want to tell anyone right away. And I was like, the hormones just going crazy. So I was like a lunatic. So I'm sure people were like, what is up with Jamie? I remember I was at a comedy festival in Boston, and I hadn't told anyone yet except for one of my friends that I was there with. And, you know, everyone knows me, like, oh, I hang out, I have a beer, whatever. And I wasn't drinking at all. And everyone's like, Jamie, no beer, no wine? I was like, I have a stomach thing. And then I ordered cheese fries and nachos. I was like, okay, they sent something. I already forgot the question that you asked.
Hey, that's motherhood for you. The concept of the first-time pregnant lady, you know, it's their first pregnancy.
Yeah, I actually like to talk to those women. And some of them are glad that I did, some aren't. So I've kind of learned to, like, when not to say anything. But especially in a workout class that I go to, I see a lot of the same people. And I remember when I was pregnant, walking in like I'm Beyonce, like with my cute belly, and just like, oh, you know, I'm just gonna do a little exercise. And then afterwards, there was a pregnant instructor there. And I, like, accosted her, and she was like, how are you? I'm like, look, it is the most horrific situation ever. This was 8 weeks out. I'm like, I'm wearing Depends in this class right now. And she looked terrified because she was, like, a week away from giving birth. And that's when I was like, oh, Jamie, you shouldn't have done that. That probably wasn't nice. I never talked to her again.
But did she make it back to the class?
Yeah. Well, so she's a teacher. So she had a baby, but then she like left. Or maybe she just avoided me from then on. Yeah. But I look back at my pictures and I'm like, oh, that's so cute. I was like 34 weeks feeling big and cute. And then after, I mean, it was a total nightmare for me. I had to write the show because I just really couldn't wrap my head around what had just happened. Because you have this image of what the baby's going to be like. And I already was reluctant going into it. I'm like, I don't know if I want a kid. I never grew up being like, oh, I want babies. I love my husband. So I was like, yeah, I want to have your baby. I still don't know that I want to. But anyway, I don't know how graphic I can be. But
you can be as graphic as you like.
The first thing I said, Penny, was, why are his balls so big? it should be that like Pampers moment where you're like, oh my God, and crying. And they put him on my chest. He pooped all over me. And then I looked at him and I said, why are his balls? My husband's like, Jamie, it's okay. And I'm like, no, but the balls, what's happening? So I look back on that and I was very hard on myself for that moment too. Like a couple months in, I was like thinking back on it, like, God, why did, you know, everyone says, you know, oh my God, so the most amazing time of my life. And I said, look at how big his balls are and was mortified and then peed all over the floor.
I think because I can remember not being overwhelmed by adoration. I mean, I look back at the photographs now and I burst into tears because it's so lovely. But I can remember at the time being very, you know, right, okay, well, let's just do this then. Not being overwhelmed by love or anything that everyone says you're going to have. Because I think there's a few things not in the brochure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I think about all those diaper commercials and I felt guilty because I didn't feel that way. It's like this instinctual thing that takes over no matter how bad I felt. I was like, I have to take care of him. And it's a weird like dichotomy of like brain space. It's like kind of not mourning, but a little bit like it's not what you thought it was going to be and you don't know what it's going to be. And right now it's horrible. So you're like mourning that, but you also have this beautiful child and you know that, but you can't really see beyond just this like meatloaf of a human. But I will say one thing about the pictures. So I told my husband, I'm like, no pictures. I don't want any pictures of me holding the baby after, like, cause I'm going to look terrible. I'm so mad at myself for that.
Oh.
Because I still yell at my husband. I'm like, why didn't you take a picture? He's like, you threatened my life. I'm like, well.
Never listen to a woman with hormones raging everywhere. Yeah.
Like I was worried about like the hair situation down there. I was worried about pooping. I'm like, that was the least of my worries.
Before you have a baby, doctor asks you, oh, you know, would you like someone else in the room? You start taking clothes off in the waiting room post-baby. Oh, everyone's seen everything.
But I was worried. I was telling my husband, I'm like so pregnant. He's like, why are you, that's what you're worried about? I'm like, yeah, I don't want to poop in front of people. I don't want to poop in front of a doctor.
Seriously, they're prepared for it. It's not like you.
But yeah, my doctor was so nice. I knew I was pooping and she was like, I heard her whisper to the nurses, can you get me a wet cloth or something?
Yeah.
And I was like, I pooped, didn't I? She's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm like, yep.
Again, it's the stuff not in the brochure. At what point did it come to you that this whole thing could be a comedy show?
Yeah, it's weird because I really didn't want to do anything for a while. Like I had postpartum depression. I didn't know that until like 6 months later. And I didn't feel good. And I was like so overwhelmed with him. And I remember he was like 3 months old and it was one of the first nights that he actually slept for like 6 hours. But I kept waking up and I didn't know what to do with myself. And this title popped into my head. And I always keep a pen and pencil next to my bed. And I just started writing and I wrote like 2 pages and it was so easy. So then I was like, okay, I guess I have to do this show. Like, I didn't know if it was funny. I just had to like get it out.
I'm so sorry that you had postnatal depression, because that for people that are naturally, you know, funny and lighter, it comes as I suspect even more of a blow.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I do come from like there's a lot of mental illness in my family, but I haven't had it, thank God. Or this is definitely what broke me. And I didn't really know what it was. I was just like, I just was so angry and so irritated and I like couldn't concentrate and like just felt sad. And like here I felt, and then I felt guilty for feeling sad. But I joined this mommy group. And then once I started to get to know some of the women, I was like, hey, nudge, nudge. Are you feeling all right? Because I don't know if I am.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my God, go on Zoloft. We are all Zoloft. I'm like, what? No one told me. You know, as someone growing up with people in my family with mental illness, I want to avoid medication. I think everyone wants to avoid medication if they can, but
yeah.
It made my life so much better. And I'm still on it and I'm not ashamed of that. I think there's so much to do, you know, to have your child and then like, you know, my husband works crazy hours and then and I'm trying to like get my career going. Like it's just a constant feed that I have to do. It's not like I work a 9-to-5 job. So
it's really interesting. Like we joke about how you probably shouldn't talk about pooping during labor because that'll scare off the new mummies. But perhaps what we really should be talking about is how to recognize that maybe that really incremental slide into depression is a possibility. It's, you know, much more frequent in this big hormone shift time after you have a baby. And there's a lot of pressure on you not to crumble.
Yeah. Like for me, I was putting that pressure on myself for sure, because I look at, you know, you don't want to judge yourself looking at other people, but you naturally do that. And so, you know, even like my mom, my friends who have had kids for years, like you forget about it. That's the messed up thing about all of this is that hormones, they are like erase it from your memory. And even when I do my show now, there's some things where I'm like, oh my God, that really happened. So I think that's also maybe why we don't talk about it, because looking back on it, if I didn't have my show, I would tell a woman it was horrible, but it's so amazing. Like, whereas when I first started my show, I was just in the no, this sucks, don't do it. So it's interesting how it's evolved. It's still that like solid truth, but also more of that other side, like once you claw your way out of that like literal shithole.
Yours and theirs, I think, is the,
yeah.
The show got written, and what was the response like? I mean, who, you know, I can't imagine sort of 20 something men on a bucks night would be particularly comfortable on the paying for tickets.
I had all ages at the show, like ranging. I mean, maybe some people just wandered in and didn't know what they were getting into, but it was really fun to have like couples there, like all different ages of couples that either have had kids or pregnant, you know, women with their husbands or partners. So that was fun because, you know, my background is improv and the show is scripted, but a lot of what I love to do is play with the audience. And that's a big part of my show, sometimes to my own detriment, but that's why I love live theater and performing. So it's really fun. Like I ask in the beginning of the show who I have, like who's pregnant, who's thinking about being pregnant. That makes it a really fun, warm experience, I think. And for me, because this stuff, I've always been a really private person, which is odd that I'm in this business, but having a baby is definitely something that changed that in me. Like I felt like I had to tell this story, and I've always been with solo shows like, oh, who wants to watch me for an hour? Well, you're not watching me. I think it's something that's universal, and it's like talking to a friend and hanging out and being real and hearing things that I think most people won't tell you. Like my own mother didn't tell me these things. But again, I really think it's because you forget.
It's possibly not so much of a conspiracy theory as we tend to think it is. How old's your little boy?
He's 2 now.
Okay.
He's 20. He turned 2 end of March.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm alive.
We're alive. I know. Everyone's still breathing here. Nothing to see. Move on. The difficulty of that newborn phase is, you know, replaced by the difficulty of the toddler phase, which is replaced by the difficulty of the preschool and the school. And, you know, every stage has its own degree of difficulty.
Yeah, I think you always gain something and lose something. You know, having an infant, I really didn't enjoy. But looking back now, when I see pictures of him, I'm like, oh my God, I just want him to be a baby again. But he was awful as a baby. He was colicky. All I did was cry. And I'll see someone with a baby. And I never liked babies. Like at all, which is the weird thing. Now I see a baby and I'm like smiling like an idiot at them. Hi, can I hold your baby? Now he's more of a person. Like I feel like we know each other. I am definitely so bonded to him, and you know, vice versa. And he's like a little person, but he's also an asshole. You know, like he doesn't listen. Everything is no, mommy. I want mine. And that's annoying. That's like I'm catering to some rich maniac 24/7. But I have to, otherwise I you know, I'm the one that has the negative effect, because he's just going to scream and cry in my face if I don't.
It's a tough life. What's the thing in the show that shocks everybody?
I think, so my show, it's in three parts. I think the first part is kind of like a class where I go through all the things that happen to your body during, after. And I do a whole thing as like a film noir character about my labor, which was horrific. So there's a lot of gap. I think it's just, it's really throughout. It's really scattered. The hemorrhoids thing gets people. The pissing your pants for a month. Just the actual pain. Like, I really go in detail about the pain of labor, because I feel like I have PTSD still from that. Like, I think in the end, when I'm just like real about things, like saying, like, you know, can I tell you something? I didn't love him. It took me a while. And that felt shameful. And it's interesting, because after the show, like, I would have people come up to me, which, again, when I first did the show, I'm like, I don't know if anyone wants to see this, but I got to get out of the house, one. My director said it's funny, so I'm just going to get out of here. And so after the show, you know, I would have young people come up to me and be like, oh, my God, I had no idea. Like, even young men. I'm like, what are you doing here? Someone's really trying to laid with their friend here. Then older people who have been through all of this and have older kids now, or, you know, are saying, oh God, I remember that. But I forgot how terrible all of that was. And also women who have had kids coming up to me, especially the postpartum depression stuff, like really emotional, and just being like, thank you so much for talking about this and being so open about it, because I feel like it's crazy to me that in 2018, with everything that's going on in the world, this is like something that's a stigma, with all the like negative nonsense. Like, it's sad, because I can't imagine if I didn't get help, like what this would be like. It's hard enough. A lot of people are doing this on their own, and that I cannot even comprehend how you do that. So, you know, I think it also makes you a better person. It's hard. It's hard to walk around with a kid, subway stairs and this and that. And, you know, anytime I see a woman or a man, anyone that needs help with a kid, I am right there. And I think, and I see people looking. Other people are, I think, surprised, you know, like, my kid's not with me. They don't know why I'm like jumping up or like, you know, picking this up. But it changes you. And I hope that other people see that and see how appreciative I am of their help, of those damn subway stairs. And they help people. I mean, it's little, but it's, I think it matters and it means something and it makes everything better.
Yeah. The other thing that it forced me to do is to accept the kindness of strangers. People do come out and help you if you are struggling with a child.
Yeah. And that's like strong New York woman. No, I don't need help. The first day I went out with him, I had him in this like cloth carrier that I used for the first time. This is my first time actually going on the subway with him.
Yeah.
It was like 87 degrees, hot underground. It was packed. It was a 5:30 L train, which is a nightmare. And the carrier was coming off of me. He was screaming. I had my backpack. It was totally packed. I was getting up. No one offered to help me. People were pushing me out of the way. Finally, I got off the train. I was in tears, and a woman was standing right there. She's like, let me help you right now. Let me do whatever you need to do. I started crying more. I was just like, thank you so much. So that, you know, and it's still, sometimes there's assholes on the train that are like rude and whatever. And, you know, but I don't see that as much anymore. I see those people that are helping, because so many people are helpful. And I wish I could, like, I thought, I'm like, I wish I took a picture of every single person that ever helped me up the subway stairs, because I love these people. It is crazy to me. Like, I feel like older people are always more willing to help than younger, which is odd to me. Like, I would think younger people would be like, younger women would be like, this is going to be me someday.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. I don't want to generalize, but my experience has been that, like, older men and women are the ones that are like, let me help you.
I know how hard this is. So, any thoughts of baby two, or are you just going to?
Oh, God. So,
a very annoying question. I know. I apologize.
No. I don't mind it at all. So, there's two of us in this. We were thinking about it now, and then we're like, no, because Watson, my son, is really a lot of work. Like, he's exceptionally insane. Like, he just runs 24/7. And my husband's 41. works a ton, overweight. I am almost, I'm 37. Oh God, I'm 38. I just lied. I'm 38. We can't, this is why people have kids when they're young. But I don't know. I mean, I think we will, but not in the next year for sure.
Okay. Well, what about another show?
Oh, is that what you were asking?
Well, no, I was asking about the baby, but I thought.
Yeah, so the show is always evolving. It's different from when I started. And, you know, I want to keep doing it. I would love to reach out to more venues. And it just makes me so happy to see people's reactions and talk to them after the show. Because I feel like people really learn something and laugh. And it's fun for me to do. So I want to keep doing it and, you know, keep updating the material, which is fun. And then and working on a stand-up set, just a straight stand-up set based on where I'm at right now. But, yeah, I mean, I love live theater and performing, so there'll always be something down the road, but I'm always working on something. Yeah, if anyone that's listening wants me to come to Australia, I'll be there without child.
Jamie Adursky, New York comedian, and I really hope someone decides to help her do a tour here in Australia, although I bet she won't come without the baby, no matter how much she complains about him.
Baby talk!
Baby talk!
Tell your friends if they have a baby. They need to listen to Baby Talk.
This is Baby Talk, and you can find us online by just searching Baby Talk. And on our website, I've posted Jamie's sizzle reel of her comedy routine, Cry Baby. And if you'd like to listen to this interview again, you can find it on the ABC Listen app and on iTunes. There's always more on our Facebook page too. Just search Baby Talk, one word.
Baby Talk is the podcast that supports parents. But if you want to support Baby Talk, take a minute to rate and review the show. Your ratings and comments help us make a better show and make it easier for others to find us.
I'm Penny Johnston. I'll see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.